Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, wow, I just got back in a time machine from the 1990s where we played video games, listened to Britpop, drank Sunny Delight, and didn't worry that the world was going to end in a fiery inferno. If you want to join me next time I go, call me on the landline and come along for the ride. It's going to be epic. Root Dog and the Dweebs, man! Oh, hi. You just got me drinking some Sunny Delight. I've got a lot of it in the kitchen cupboard. Where I just went on holiday, there was tons of it, so I thought I'd bring back a large selection for myself. If you want to come over and join me in drinking some, you're most welcome. Thank you for coming on this audio journey. I hope you enjoy today's episode. We have a great guest. He is somebody you will know from Love Island After Sun, where he impersonates all the Islanders. Love Island fans will know that the new series is coming to a conclusion very, very soon. It's giving Love Island, isn't it? You'll also know him from Murder in Successville and numerous other stage and screen appearances. And he has an Edinburgh show coming up called Gritty Police Drama, where he plays a plethora of characters. It is, of course, Luke Kempner. He's a great guy. Luke, thank you for joining me for this episode. We talked in Soho Square Gardens in London. You're going to love the episode. If you would like more information or more details or to see our socials, why don't you have a look? It's at Park Date Podcast. And if you would like to follow me and see my comedy videos, it's at Christopher Beanland Comedy. Please leave us a review and a rating. Most importantly, enjoy the episode. Okay, welcome to Soho Square Gardens in London on this sunny day, and I'm here with Luke Kempner. Luke, how are you today?
I'm very good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, sorry I'm a bit late. I had to help a guy who fell off his bike.
Did you really?
I helped him a little bit.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. I've got, I've got my Cub Scout first aid badge.
Okay, good.
So I'm basically a qualified doctor.
And now you've got your helping man who fallen off his bike badge as well.
Exactly.
I'm a Cub Scout.
Were you?
Yeah.
What badges did you have?
Oh, mate, them all. My jumper was absolutely full. But I mean, I feel like it was sort of run by just reprobates and sort of people who had like nothing else to do. And I think they gave out the badges quite easily. But I think it was things like, I think I bought an astronomy badge. I was quite proud of that
astronomy,
one. It was quite a cool little,
yeah.
You know, like a little sort of planet.
Yeah.
And I had like hobbies badge.
Hobbies.
Athletics 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Oh,
did
man.
Did you have cooking?
I think I did have cooking.
We had to do cooking and we cooked like the worst meal.
Really?
And it was like some kind of, like beans and sausages.
Beans and sausages, yeah. Like, that's not badge-worthy, is it? That is not badge-worthy. Like, you need to be cooking, like, carbonara from scratch.
Right, exactly. Yeah, these days, kids are probably cooking carbonara or they're doing, like, a small plates.
Yeah.
You get their small plates badge.
There should be different levels of cooking, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, I really liked Cubs and Scouts, but it did feel like I felt like I was always the youngest there, and like the older ones. When there's like 4 years difference when you're that age, it's huge.
Yeah.
And I remember being quite scared and like not being able to sleep when we went on camps and stuff like that. And sort of coming away going, oh, I thought this would be great. I'm actually quite sad. And One time we went swimming with the Cubs, and like on the way back, 5 minutes from home, the scout leader goes, ring your mum and say that you've been left at the swimming pool, which was like a 45-minute drive away. So I rang my mum. They were like, yes, it'd be great. So I rang my mum, and I was like, oh, I'm still at the swimming pool, and now I'm on my own, and they've all got home. So my mum had five, and then we got home, and they were like, oh, run in and say you're here. Yeah. Like, at the time, I was like, oh, it'd be funny. But now when you think about it, especially as I am now a parent, yeah. I'm like, you'd be like, your heart would be in your ass. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, my poor mum. Yeah. Terrible.
That wouldn't happen these days, would it?
No. Terrible institution.
Yeah.
The Cubs and Scouts.
I feel like back in the day as well, they would let us do things where they would just send us away into a forest. They'd say, be back in 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You had to, like, find each other.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Quite frightening, mostly, actually. I don't think but you say be prepared. Be prepared to be frightened.
Be prepared
like,
to...
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's their new slogan.
Yeah,
be prepared
yeah.
to be frightened.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't think I've kept in touch with anyone from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose it teaches you some things.
Yeah, definitely.
Athletics 1 and 2.
Yeah, so you've got your badge.
Yeah. Got a badge to prove that.
And were you... when we were in school, Luke, I was going to ask you about this, so maybe this sort of links in, but we used to impersonate our teachers.
Yeah, man.
And that was making me think, actually, in Cubs, I think we impersonated
our
Taylor.
Yeah.
But were you doing that as well? Were you kind
always
of,
the teachers, yeah. man. That's where it first started.
Yeah, I was wondering about that for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the first one I kind of did really was my... we had different... You know, it was always... You go for the easy targets, you know, it'd be like... Mr. Tomlin, because he had a weak R, so you'd be like, oh, you know, here comes Tomlin. And he came once and he came into the class and he said, I hope you're not mucking about, because remember, Tomlin Pwowls. And so, like, that was like the first one of me going around saying Tomlin Pwowls. But then it was
that
actually.
That could go on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know. Just literally taking it. And he was so nice to me when I left school as well. Like, sent me this big long letter saying, you inspire me. And I was like, oh, God. I've ripped the piss out of you for the last 5 years. But it was actually when I was at drama school and I did impressions of my singing teacher, who was called Roth Campbell, and he spoke like this. And he would always say, so Luke, you're reaching up for the notes like you're a giraffe. You need to relax like you're a hippo. And, you know, that is a very good impression. Just But, like, that's kind of where it started. And I would get up in front of everyone at drama school, so, like, you know, 300 people, and do a set of impressions of the teachers based around a sort of narrative, whatever it was, them putting on the nativity play, or it was Roth Campbell bringing out his new book and I need people to help me. And that's kind of how it started. And now here I am, like, 15 years on, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's worked out well.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of led into these other things that you're doing. You've got your Edinburgh show
coming up. Yeah.
Where you're playing 60 characters.
Yeah, 60 right. impressions, 60 minutes, one murder.
Yes.
In gritty police drama, the musical.
Yeah.
And I love it, man. It's sort of come full circle in that, like, when I first left, because I did musical theatre for like 4 years, I was in shows like Les Mis and South Pacific and Avenue Q, and then I left that to do comedy. And the first show I did was called The Only Way Is Downton, which I did 10 years ago now, and it started from a YouTube clip that Stephen Fry tweeted about. Mm. That went viral. Then I wrote this show, toured it around the world, and then sort of came away from that about 8 years ago, worked on my stand-up, because I wanted to be able to be on TV, on radio, on podcasts like yourself, with yourself, and be able to be funny as myself. So I went away and learned, you know, I went into clubs and learned how to be funny as myself. And now I feel like I'm coming back to kind of how I started with a one man, playing every single character. It's all impressions. It's a lot more singing than I've done in previous shows, because I sort of came away from that from the musical theatre days. But now this show has like got six songs. And like I say, it's 60 characters, 60 impressions. It's all based around gritty police dramas, which is like Line of Duty, Happy Valley, Luther, Unforgotten, all that sort of stuff. And like, and it features, you know, Ted Hastings, like the battle, he's the main character in there. But you've also got Catherine Kerr, which, you know, from Happy Valley, Sarah Lancashire. And Luther, Idris Elba, he's there doing a lot of product placement and a lot of violence. So there's all those characters. But then in around that, James Corden's been murdered. We need to find out who by. So we get in D.I. Ian McKellen, we get D.I. Claudia Winkleman, D.I. Louis Theroux's in there as well. He's sort of there because you can get anything out of anyone. Is that okay? Am I okay? So it's just full of impressions, full of songs, love songs, fun songs, comedy songs, torch songs. Even at one point, I get the audience to hold a torch on me for I sing a song as I'm dying. It's a lot of fun. It's one of the greatest things I've ever written. So I'm excited to get going with it in Edinburgh. Yeah,
it sounds cool. And I think there's that thing, Luke, isn't there, where... You know, you sort of were alluding to it when you're doing that sort of split between when you're doing impressions and you're being someone else versus when you're being yourself.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few people that talk about that, like Steve Coogan talks about that as well, doesn't he? Like, he was doing a lot of impersonations.
Yeah, spitting image. Like, then, he started off with spitting image.
Right, which you've done as well.
Yeah.
How does it feel when you're kind of like, you're inhabiting those people? Do you have a sort of like, you have to have like a split personality or something?
Well, I think the thing is that I find, I like doing comedy as myself. I like doing stand-up. I like, you know, I do a lot of emceeing and I like chatting to the audience, mucking around. That is me on stage. You know, there's a lot of comedians that's a version of them, but that is genuinely me on stage is the same as I am off stage. But when I get to do the impressions, I just feel like I can push myself in different directions. You know, whether it's, you know, being like someone like, well, I know you had Christopher Biggins on your podcast, haven't you? And it's being able to be someone that's so different and so, you know, such a different personality than mine. I get to throw myself into that. You know what I mean? And then, but also
that
getting...
That was a very good Biggins.
Thank you. But even like people like Andy Murray, you know, he's, you know, I absolutely love Andy Murray. You know, I'm a big fan. He's an incredible tennis player. You know, the passion. I'd love to be a sportsman like him. And I get to be that on stage by just doing his voice and writing funny jokes around it. So for me, it just gives me a chance to really extend different parts of my personality, different things that I find funny, really.
Yeah. And it's, do you kind of like study the people, you know, when you're doing an impersonation, I guess you're watching a lot of TV. Do you kind of think, what is it like to be this person? Are you going back to drama school?
I mean, yeah, essentially, you know, you've got to build a character, you know, for each of these people. Like, even like, you know, Michael McIntyre, for example, like, in my show, he's the chief of police. So, you know, we've got Michael McIntyre, the comedian. We know him. We've got the one that has the wheel, my big show. We've got all those characters. But then I want to make him the chief of police in the British police drama. So then you have to think of things that happen with the chief of police. So they're always coming in and saying the budgets are tight. Budgets are never loose in a gritty police drama, are they? And then like doing some Michael McIntyre. You know, look, I love Michael McIntyre. I think he's one of the greatest comedians we have in this country. So really I'm just trying to pick his style and then push it onto being the chief of police in Line of Duty or gritty police drama. So it's sort of, what I love is I pick a, you know, like with Downton and now with gritty police dramas, it's picking a genre that I love and picking out the nuances of that, you know, but then putting in all my impressions and the nuances of them. And actually, John Kearns once said to me, like, that, you know, I'm saying this as a compliment to myself, but it's like, I sort of have to come up with a new comedic persona for every single character I do. Well, like, if you're a stand-up, that's your comedy persona.
Yeah.
And that's just you.
Yeah.
You know, Frankie Ball, that's just Frankie Ball the whole time.
But a version, but it's a version of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
In comedy college, they're like, well, find this kind of on-stage version of you.
Yeah. Exactly. So when it's the funniest version of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you're on stage as you, are you even you? Or do you feel like...
I think I am.
You're kind of like the real you.
I suppose the funniest things I feel that I do on stage is sort of mock faux arrogance.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, I don't want to talk about my musical theatre days. It's not something I want to mention. You know, no, I really don't want to talk about it. And it's all that sort of stuff that I know I can always go to of sort of, oh, I'm dramatic, I'm theatrical, I've done a lot of things but I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Is kind of my thing, but like I sort of do that in general conversation anyway. Yeah. You know, it's just me, it's just self-deprecating comedy. But I suppose with every character that I do, you are just trying to find what, like you say, it is your interpretation of what is funny about them. So it's still me. It's just my observation of them.
Yeah.
And then how far do I push that?
Yeah.
You know, like with Andy Murray, I don't just play him, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm charismatic even though I'm not. But I push, I like to just pretend he's a teenager still. Only because his mum's always around and my brother plays tennis and she lets us play Mario Kart upstairs if we're good. You know, like, oh, we've got ping pong ball.
You
know, so that's my version of what I find funny about him.
And I think that's how you can push a regular impression into something more.
Yeah.
And that's what they did on Spitting Image as well, isn't it? Where they put the character into a sort of more unlikely,
completely
comedic situation.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Which then makes it like better, doesn't it?
And that's the thing, from doing like Spitting Image for a couple of series and now we're doing Spitting Image live in London, you know, like for I play King Charles. Now I've never done King Charles before we did Spitting Image because you know, he's always been sort of, you know, he's quite aloof with me, you know.
I don't, you know, when characters are down there, I can, like, sort of Mr. Carson from Downton. But sometimes when they're sort of in their 60s and it's like, I find it quite hard to sort of sustain that aloof character.
But then in Spitting Image, I watched this great documentary with Coogan and Harry Enfield who were talking about how it's less about the impression, more about the character. So once I got that in my head, and then I sort of really started to push him, you know, and he's got this gruffier tone, he's sort of very tense, I'm trying to do something, and you can see with my arms I'm moving, and it's very proud, and I'm the king, and it's my crown. And, like, that is not how he talks. It's a version of how he talks, and it's the funniest way that I can make him funny.
You
know what I mean?
And it's interesting to pick up on those tics that people have. I guess you watch The Crown, right? Where where Dominic West is doing doing Charles, and he's like,
and he does look, you know, as soon as he does that face, it does. I actually went to this is such a name droppy story, but about 2 years ago,
go ahead, Luke.
I went to a cricket match with Rory Bremner and Dominic West.
That's a
because
very
Rory
good story.
Have been helping.
Rory's a very big cricket fan, isn't he?
Yes, and he'd been helping Dominic West with his King Charles impression.
Right.
So there, and then he made Dominic stand up in front of a room of 400 people and do his King Charles, and it was great. So like, and it was amazing, sort of seeing Dominic, who's obviously an actor, but he's having to do an impression. But it's but similar to I feel at what I do, is it is always a character you're creating more than just, isn't it funny that this really sounds like this person? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But picking out those characteristics is a funny thing.
Yeah.
But it's strange, isn't it? When you're playing, I guess when you're playing people who were there as well, I guess you've not had a chance to ask the king for his feedback.
No, not yet. But I've met Harry. I met Harry and Meghan there in my show.
Right.
And I suppose, you know, I didn't talk to him about my impression of him.
Yeah.
But you have to, it's one of the weird things as well, because, you know, if I knew Harry really well, the stuff you would take, the stuff I'd take the piss out of my mates is different to what most people would think. So, for example, like, in my show, to not have jokes about Harry and Meghan and the jokes that an audience expect, you know, like, I have jokes of Harry going, oh, you know, Em's just doing a podcast about how to breathe and why it's so important. And, like, Charles said, oh, she should try stopping. What? Nothing. But, like, that isn't what I necessarily think of Harry and Meghan. I am actually quite supportive of them. I think what they're doing is a great thing. Certainly what Harry is doing, you know, with his sort of quest against the papers is amazing. But it's what an audience expects, and what's funny about that?
Yeah, you know?
Like, it's funnier to put them in this situation. And, you know, like, I watched that South Park thing they did. I don't know if you saw that with Harry and Meghan, where they go around with placards going, we want our privacy. And, like, that's really funny.
Yeah.
And I think Harry and Meghan will probably find that funny.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like, it's difficult trying to unpick what an audience is going to find funny as well.
Yeah, and I think mostly people who've been impersonated probably quite enjoy it on some level, I guess no one's ever come up to you and been like, Luke,
I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny,
Have you ever had a negative reaction?
Well, it's one of those things, is like, for years I've done like Big Brother and Love Island, After Sun, doing Islanders, doing Housemates, and like nearly all of them taking it really well, but it's some of them that, like, it's mostly the arrogant ones that come up to you afterwards and go, like, well, it is a name. So, what's her name now? Boris Johnson's sister.
Oh,
what's she called?
Yes. I can't remember. We'll
Boris Johnson's sister. And I hate that. I already feel bad that she isn't. I'm making her famous for being Boris Johnson's sister. She's famous in her own right.
We'll dub it later.
Yeah, stick it in later. But she came up to me afterwards and said, I really enjoy what you did, but you didn't get me. You didn't get me. You have to try harder to get me. Work on it. And I'm like, well, the fact is I can't even remember her first name at the moment. But, like, it's like, it's funny that people go, you didn't get me. And often people don't realise how they sound as well.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? You don't realise how you sound. It's a nightmare for me when I'm editing this podcast, having to listen to my own voice.
Oh, yeah.
Think, oh, my God. Of course. Do I sound that bad? It's horrible.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, no, you do have to eat.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You do
it's a strange
that.
One, isn't it? Yeah. Were any of the Love Island, any of the islanders from Love Island, unhappy with your portrayal of them, Luke?
Not at all. They've always been really.
Happy.
I think, to be honest with you, like, it is for them. Most of them come from it as being a complete nobody, yeah. You know, and then go on the show. And if someone has taken the time to work and on their impression, think of funny jokes, man. They've always, to be honest with you, really liked it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is a compliment.
Yeah. And we were saying, I think you need to do it again this year because it's always good when you do your roundup on After
Sun. When we did the roundup last year, it got like 10 million views.
Yes.
Like, it was insane.
It's very good.
So, you know, in all seriousness, Gritty Police Drama is the hardest show I've ever written.
Yeah.
So it's like, it has taken up so much time. I've also got a 1.5-year-old child, so it's like fitting in around that, as well as watching Love Island every night, because I do the Love Island podcast, and I have my own podcast with my wife and her twin called Shit, I Married a Twin. So it's just fitting all that stuff. And then those Love Island videos take me like a whole day to film.
Yeah.
But I do need to do it. I literally, as you were walking here, I had a message on my Instagram going, why are you not doing the Love Island videos this year? And I'm like, I am trying.
They are good. Who are your favourite islanders from this year?
Oh, from
I'm
this
a
year.
Fan as well.
Do you know what? Remarkably, I really like Zach. Like, because I do the podcast with Sam Thompson in India Pollock, and they're like, oh God, why do you like Zach? He's so boring. And I'm like, no, I just sort of, there's something so sweet about this guy, you know, he's like, oh, that's terrible.
Molly.
That's terrible.
You're Molly.
No, broski. No, that's okay, broski. I forgive you, broski. But he's like this sort of road man. But he's actually quite sweet. He's married. He's not married, but he's now going.
Whoa,
I know, well, who knows? But he's now going out with Molly, who's basically like, from my sort of life in the musical theatre, blonde girl, which was very much my type, and my wife is a blonde, tanned girl that likes musical theatre. Like, I just never put them together.
It's an unlikely match, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But so I quite like Zach. I loved Mehdi. I miss Mehdi, French Mehdi. And Mehdi from the first 3 weeks, he was fantastic. Him and Whitney.
Whitney, my boundaries. You are crossing my boundaries.
It's perfect. But so it's very sad as he went. But like, I sort of hate and love them all, really.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Sammy and Jess make me laugh when they have their conversations.
Yeah. Your little boy. Your little boy, Sammy. She needs to just let that boy go. Oh, my God.
He's always like, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
Babe.
And he's like, oh,
it's giving
I'm,
player, babe.
I'm sorry if I upset you. He's never like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I upset you. And it's like, no, Sammy, you need to actually apologise here, mate. Yeah. Love him.
Yeah,
love
it's a good one. I do like Love Island.
I love it. Well, Ian, you
very
know,
watchable.
Ian, who does the voiceover, is like, you know, he is one of
Ian is good.
Yeah, he's one of my best friends. So it's kind of cheating because I speak to him every day on the phone. I remember when he got the show, and like the first couple of years, as much as I loved it, like not a lot of people were watching it. Like, you know, compared to now, it's like 3 or 4 million.
Yeah,
it was like 700,000.
Yeah, and I think Ian Sterling's voiceovers and jokes are one of the reasons why people like Love Island, because
definitely.
It elevates it.
Definitely.
Like, I try and convince people of this. Like, why are you watching Love Island? But it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like, there's a lot of jokes.
He's great, man.
Yeah, it's very
he's
funny.
Really
yeah,
great,
it's
and he keeps delivering. You know, it's 10th series now, and he keeps delivering. Like, you know, and he's now doing the American Love Island as well, and like he's
a busy boy, isn't he?
He's definitely part of it though. Like, you know, he's I don't think it works without him.
Yeah.
And I would hate it if they, you know, if he ever didn't want to do it. You know, like he feels so integral. Like Marcus with Big Brother as well. You know, it's so good that he's carrying on doing it because you know he's just part of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's good when you have those shows exactly that need people to be a part of them. Yeah, like you can't have. There's some shows you can't have without without that person.
But it would be like, you know, watching Come Dine With Me, you know, yeah, without,
exactly.
What's his name? Lamb.
Lamb, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I can't remember his name. Yeah. But like, you know, it would be so weird if we didn't have him doing all the time. Like, it, yeah, would, it wouldn't make sense. Yeah. And, you know, and these shows are important to have their voices. Even like adverts. You look at like Compare the Meerkat or like Go Compare. Like, you take those central figures away from those adverts just feel like they're a different company.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like,
were they, that was, is it Simon? Maybe I've got his name wrong. Simon.
Yeah, Simon Green.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Simon Greenall from like
Alan Partridge.
Michael. Yes. Michael from Alan Partridge. You know, sort of bullet, sort of copper beans, copper beans. Like, yeah, he's Compare the Meerkat.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, his voice, like, he's sort of, you know, it's like Surrey.
Yeah,
talks like that, but amazing at voices. Yeah.
I feel like those efforts have probably made him a millionaire as well. So,
oh, 100%.
Fair play to him.
100%. He's had an incredible career. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. One thing I wanted to talk to you about,
yeah,
which I mentioned before, and then when we were talking about your show, was the links with Murder in Successful, which is,
yes,
a very, you know, you can imagine the ping pong ball is just,
oh God,
gone between us. Luke's going to get the ball. Get the ball for you.
Cheers, mate.
That's what happens when you... That guy who said cheers, mate, is actually an actor I pay.
Yeah, I know, it's great.
to come over.
He looked like he was going to kill me. So, yeah.
I slip it was £10 later.
I know. I've ruined his game. But, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, Murder Successful. Yeah.
Tom Davis in that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's great.
Yeah.
And that was a show which I loved. I was a huge, huge
incredible
fan of that show.
Show.
I remember trying to explain it to someone. And they were looking at me like,
you just have to watch it. It's like, just watch, yeah, one app and then you'll understand.
Yeah. So it's like these people playing celebrities.
Yes.
And there's been a murder. It's just fantastic.
Well, the thing is the way it's an improvised murder, yeah, mystery.
Yes.
You know, like more,
well,
like
that's
an,
a very good way of it. Yeah. I should have got you to explain it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Improvised murder mystery. It's sort of like, yeah, an American style cop show.
Yeah.
Where, like, but Successful, which is called Murder in Successful. Successful is this town where it's all populated by celebrities. Mm-hmm. So the murders that happen by the celebrities, but they've always, Tom Davis, who plays Steve Sleet, has always got a rookie with him, and his rookie is always played by a celebrity that has no idea what's going to happen, a real life celebrity.
Yeah.
So whether it's Greg James or Jamie Lang or
Jamie Lang episode,
Chris Kamara. Yeah. So it's always like a different celebrity, and like Deborah Meaden was amazing.
Deborah Meaden, yeah.
So like, and they don't know what's going to, we don't know how they're going to play it. We have a set kind of like where we need to get to with the story.
Yeah.
But like, whenever they came into the room, we had no idea what they were going to give us. You,
yeah,
know? So like, it was incredible. And interestingly, with that show and the sort of influence it's had on gritty police drama, in that, for me, like, when I wrote gritty police drama, it's the genre that I chose is shows I love: Happy Valley, Line of Duty, Luther, like all those kind of very, very popular British, miserable, in the rain, small town kind of shows.
Yeah.
Where with Murder Successful, like I say, it's a bit more sort of Americanized, and D.I. Sleet, the character of Sleet, is more, he's less serious. He,
yeah,
tries to be serious. He's a different sort of character.
Yeah.
So like, I feel there's like similarities in with it, the celebrities, and we're making a heightened scenario of a murder silly with lots of celebrities.
Yeah.
But I feel there's lots of differences as well. The musical element and also like, you know, when I wrote my Downton Abbey show, that this is kind of what I'm doing now. It's a one man show, 60 minutes we're saying. It's probably more like 55. Start to finish storyline. And,
yeah,
hopefully you come away going, what the hell was that? But I loved it, you know.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Incidentally, my favourite ever Love Island challenge was Line of Booty.
Oh yeah, that was great. And they were just all dressed as police, weren't they? Yeah, I do remember that. It was last summer, wasn't it?
It was. That was a classic. But yeah, you're right. It was exactly Murder Successful. Got those American elements, but then it's almost like Tom Davis is almost breaking character as well. You can see him; he's on the verge of laughter half the time.
I adore that guy. Like,
yeah, he's trying to keep it together, and he's
But he can do it. That's the thing with Tom; like, he can keep it together. Although he said to me, like, when he used to work with Lee Francis when he was starting,
yeah,
out, like, because like he's about 10 years older than me, and like it was kind of my first telly job was doing Murder Successful,
yeah,
and he was like, "Oh, when I used to work with Lee, I couldn't stop laughing." And like, my trouble is with Tom is I couldn't stop laughing. Like,
so we were going to say your problem was you couldn't start laughing.
No.
He wasn't,
yeah, I wish. I just couldn't. Because like Colin Holt's in it as well. And Colin, yeah, can just keep a straight face all the time. Like,
yeah.
And I just find the stuff so funny.
Yeah.
And we had this whole scene, me and Tom, where we were doing this bit with it's the Lorraine Kelly episode where I was playing Ant from Ant and Dec.
Yes.
And we improvised this bit, me and Tom, not written in the script at all, where I would go and show him my brewing I was brewing beer, and Tom Sleet just starts coming on to me and just going, I know why you've got me back here. And he just started putting his finger around the rim of the glass, like looking at me in the eye. And I'm like, I know what you're doing. You're just trying to make me laugh, like that. But the trouble is, then it becomes quite a funny scene because he's going, come on. And I'm going, no, that's not what I thought this was. I just wanted to show you the beer. I thought you'd like it. And he's going, nah, come on. He's like, guy like me, hot guy like you. This, and I, oh, my God. And, like, he kept laughing as well, to be fair. But, like, the director at one point, James DeFron, who, like, wrote it as well, like, he kept coming in and being like, guys, it is really funny, but if you keep laughing, we haven't got a scene. So, but then that heightens the pressure, and then you really, even then, you're just going.
And like when you watch it, you can so see my face is just like they obviously cut the second I go and all that. But yeah, they pieced it together.
Yeah, I think that was a good thing about that show. You could see you guys are having fun, obviously.
Most fun I've ever had.
Yeah, it looked like a fun thing to film.
Honestly, if they brought that back, it would be like a dream come true. Yeah, I really would. I love it so much.
So any of the characters you did there, have you brought to your new show? Like, you did Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, Wenger's in it. Wenger's got one line in my new show. Yeah. Arsene Wenger, yes. I have him in the show. He works European operations for the drug gang. And I think basically he says, am I Arsene Wenger? Yes. Am I head of European operations? Yes. Is this an outdated impression? No. So he's in there. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, Tom Daly's not.
Right.
Daniel Radcliffe's not. Alan Carr's in it.
Alan Carr, yeah.
Andy Murray's in it briefly. Who else did I do? Bear Grylls is in it.
Yeah.
And I do Ant and Dec in the show. So yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, when you're trying to do 60 impressions, you really are having to bring out, you know, like, I've probably got 300 impressions I do, but a lot of them are like Islanders, you know, that were in series 4 of Love Island. So it's like, as far as ones that people recognise,
like Dionora.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Or less famous than that. It's like, at one point I've got like, because I'm trying to get 60 in, so like McIntyre just goes, oh well, in that case let me introduce you to my new assistant, snooker commentator John Virgo. And he just goes, oh, where's the cue ball going? Oh, thank you, John. So I've got, there's a bit of that just to sort of beef up the numbers. But yeah, there's certainly a few from Murder Successful that made it, and from Spitting Image that have made their
right,
way over as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Well, people have to go and see that in Edinburgh. And also, what else have you got on at the moment? You're doing a podcast,
of course. A podcast, yeah. Shit, I Married a Twin.
Yes.
So it's been going
with
so
Alana
well.
With Alana and her sister.
With my wife Alana and her sister Lisa. And like, we basically, what we used to do when the three of us meet up is just sit and chat and drink wine. And actually, it was always really fun chats. And we were always like, it's quite a weird dynamic that I'm like married to one twin, best friends with the other. And that's kind of, we've always thought we should do a podcast.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it took us 10 years. And then eventually just started recording it. We've done 12 episodes. The feedback's been amazing.
Yeah.
And like, we're really, we sort of found our feet with it quite quickly. It's quite easy.
Which
always feels like you're onto a good thing there.
Exactly, it looks hard, actually very easy.
Just
record a chat.
We're just sitting chat, and but it goes really quick, and it's good fun.
And that's a good thing about a podcast. It's a fun thing that you can do. Everything else, you sit around, you and I both know pitching,
conversations. Working, writing.
Yeah, but podcasts.
People saying no, like, you know, Well, like you say, just with this, it's like, this just flies by. You're having a nice chat.
Yeah, exactly. I was listening to, I think it's the latest one that you've got out.
Oh, really?
But you were talking about your worst job ever.
Oh, which came out today, Oh, God, which one? Which one are you pointing to?
It was the TGI Fridays
one. What, the ingrown hair?
I was listening this morning, I was eating my breakfast this morning. Luke tells an anecdote. I don't know if we should even say it now. Maybe we'll let people go to the podcast and listen to it.
Okay.
There's a very funny anecdote that you tell about.
Trying to get out of
getting
doing
out,
a shift.
Getting out of a shift at TGI.
Oh my God.
By telling them about a fake medical incident.
Yeah, a fake medical incident that's near my rectum. And the trouble is like, I look at that now and go, at the time, I didn't go, this is funny.
Yeah.
I was doing it deadly serious, thinking, this is the only way I'm going to get out of working on New Year's Eve at TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
And then I quit anyway. God, I hated that job.
Yeah, was that a bad job?
That was bad. I hated that.
Was that the worst job you've ever done, TGI?
I think so.
Yeah.
The smell used to, like, give me anxiety.
Yeah.
It took me 5 years to eat in a TGI Fridays again. Like, I hated it so much.
It triggered.
And then, but I've had a lot of bad jobs. I hated my paper rounds. Like, I hated... Yeah. The best jobs I've had, and I actually didn't mention this in the podcast, was when I worked in a cinema.
Right.
I worked in a cinema for a year. I loved it.
Yeah.
Money was awful.
Some jobs are easy. I worked in a shop. I worked in a record shop. Easy. Being a lifeguard or something, that's easy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Some, like working in a restaurant or a bar, you've got to work a lot.
Oh, my God.
You want a job where you can skive off a little bit.
I don't know, but do you know what? It wasn't even the hard work. It was, you just get treated really badly.
Really?
By customers, or by managers?
By
employees.
Yeah.
By work, you know, managers.
Yeah.
Who were like, they don't like it as well when you are part-time. I think often, like, you'll work part-time and they're like, what's your dream? And I'm like, my dream is to be a star, darling. You know, and it's sort of like, this is just to make some money. And they're like, well, this is my stardom.
They want,
is this cafe?
They want the answer to be, I want my dream to be regional manager.
Yeah, I know. And then they might have respected you. But it used to be that, when I worked at TGI Fridays, I was at drama school. And they hated anyone who was part-time.
Right.
Because they were just like, oh, you're just like, sew up your own arse, going to drama school.
Yeah. I don't know. Rather like the medical problem that you...
Yeah, exactly. Which pretty much, which was perfectly, what was up my arse. But I just was like, I just couldn't understand why. I was like, no, I'm just trying to... I was like fucking 19. I'm like, I'm 19. I'm trying to achieve my dream of being a West End star. And then you're annoyed that I don't want to, you know, serve Jack Daniel's ribs for the rest of my life. You know, but it wasn't good times. I was going to say good times. It wasn't good times. I hated
good times,
it.
Good times.
I'm glad I don't work there anymore. But go to TGI Fridays, you know. Those mozzarella sticks are fantastic. You know?
TGI Fridays lawyer.
I know, exactly.
Dialing my number as we speak. Hello.
Listen, all press is good press, yeah. All press is good press.
Say.
But, you know, people haven't thought about TGI Fridays for a while. people are
like,
going again.
TGI, that's still going.
Yeah, still going. Now they're going to go.
No, they know, right, exactly. Yeah. Lovely. Right, we'll finish there, Luke. So your show is at Edinburgh all of August?
All of August, starting on the 2nd, through to the 27th.
Yeah.
5:30 at the Pleasance Courtyard. Gritty police drama, the one-man musical.
Gritty police drama. And after that, what's your next plans?
I can't even say.
Oh.
I have a
huge
job, which I shall tell you when the mic goes off. But a huge job that starts end of September.
Amazing.
Which is incredibly exciting.
Well, maybe we'll catch up with you later next year or something. We can talk about that then.
Yeah, man.
Luke Hemner, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, dude. So nice to see you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad, make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcast from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk, and if you see me walking around in a park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye. Coming up on the next episode of Park Date, have you ever wondered what life would be like without slippers? Seriously, though, can you imagine it?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.